When you listen to them, you take their message with that authority. And I think it is the same, it translates then into prayer. If you are used to taking the word authoritatively, then you are used to trusting the God that has sent this person and just taking. So when you come to him, when he says, come boldly, you come believing that he will answer your prayer rather than if it be God's will and then we escape. You know, we believe that he is a healing God. When we pray, we know he does something. We may not see the whole of it. For some people, it might be a miracle like that. For some people, it might take time, but he answers our prayers. And you take it that authoritatively. I think it is an issue of authority. That's what I would bring it down to. I hope that has helped there. Any other question?
Have you ever tried carol parties?
Carol?
Parties.
Like carol singing?
Christmas.
Yeah, we've done a bit of that. We've done carol singing from street to street. We've enjoyed that. There's one. The problem with Christmas time is the weather. The weather doesn't help. But there's a time, I think our best carol singing time, I used to own a van. I had the door wide open. We had the nativity in it with all sparkly lights around it. And then we had hot chocolate at the back of the van and mince pies. And so we would drive the van onto the corner of the street, and the choir would walk and then stand in the corner of the street and sing. And people would see the van, when they hear the singing, they would see the van, then they would come and they would ask questions about the nativity scene. And then we were able to explain the Christmas story to them as they had their hot chocolate and so on. So it's thinking creatively and, you know, finding things. But the weather really stands in our way. But the 120... when we had 120 people come to the street party, we had to put it indoors. It was a Christmas street party. We had to take it indoors. Yeah. So, yeah. If you have some ideas for me, please. We've tried. We've done the Easter egg hunt. We've done pancake races. I did a research on all those, just looking for excuses. There's a time we did the Queen's birthday, because it was a day that was very nice. It was a lovely day. Queen's birthday. So we knocked on doors quick. We put up a party tent. We knocked on doors, people who could bake something or contribute something. We put chairs out. We were doing line dancing on the street, you know. Christians should be happy people. Christians should be people that are looking into life and enjoying it. There are so many sad people out there. We should not make our lives as Christians sad lives. You know, however uncomfortable we are with it, we really should go out to do what will bring these people, will make them respond. Yes, sir.
What do you think about the Christian mission concerning the slave history? I read a book, even if the Western side, Africa, people, 20 million people captured by the Western Christian country. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I struggle with the generalization of Christian country, you know, which is what you finished with there. Because the Western countries, yes, were Christian countries, but as I come back to the Western country, I do not find a Christian country. So you understand? So those generalizations of who was it that was doing the slave trade? And yes, I know that there are aspects where even the churchgoer thought they were justified to use an African as a slave. They thought they were justified to do it. And for me, I think there's been enough apology anyway within the Christian circles. The people who are Christian, properly Christian, would have been confronted by that aspect of enslaving somebody to work for them, you know, you're not being paid, you're not being treated well, you're being, you know, treated badly, their Christian commitment would have come head to head with those thoughts. And that is my limited contribution to it. But I think the major thing there being, this is a Christian country and it is involved in slave trade. We cannot generalize that a country is Christian. Christianity is a commitment to Jesus Christ. That's why we say Christian, commitment to Jesus Christ. Yes.
I wondered if you would comment then a bit more about the way in which the gospel either transforms individuals or community. Bearing in mind, whilst you've been here, Kenya has been through a very difficult period where a country that has all these numbers going to church then had quite worrying community violence.
I've really struggled with what happened in Kenya. However, my brother here asked me during lunch, he asked, is the church in Kenya strong? And I basically, my answer was, what is strong? Is strong numerical or is strong something else? And I believe that the numbers, and I'm disturbed by it, the numbers in Kenya that call themselves Christians, there's a very small number amongst them who are what the Kenyan themselves will call committed Christians. Now, I prefer that there are many Christians anyway, and amongst them a few that are deeper than the wide, but I struggle with the fact that the wide is not making significant changes on corruption and the particular thing that happened to us during elections. And so there is a sense in which Christianity in Africa is struggling on the area of discipleship and discipling, you know, having deep roots. Now, I will not embrace the statement that I've had so often that is said Christianity in Africa is a mile wide and an inch deep, as if to say then Christianity in the West is an inch wide and a mile deep. I will not embrace that. Christianity in Africa, yes, is a mile wide, and majority of it is an inch deep, but there are some very deep places amongst. There are people that I know who will go to the mountain to seek God for weeks on end, because they believe that God wants them to carry a message, for example, to tell the president something. And in his commitment, he will go and seek God for that message to be pure and not adulterated. Then he goes, after those 2 weeks of prayer, he goes to the president and says, I have been sent of God to tell you this. That is a deep Christian. And I know it is only God that can be a judge, but those are some of the things that tell us who is really committed as a Christian. But yes, I do struggle with that. What Kenya needs is stronger discipleship. Perhaps because it's so wide, it is very difficult to get all wide going deep enough. Perhaps that is part of the problem. When I was at All Saints Cathedral, what we had started doing is setting up a mentoring program for all 1,000 young people, which was going to be a big ask for one full-time youth pastor. But what I did was to select 10 people who are the more mature youth leaders there. And I spent time with them, you know, as it were, spilling my life into them. And we spent time reading the word and interacting and applying the word to our lives, which is what is needed. I believe that what is needed is that take my hand, let me walk with you kind of discipleship, which you cannot do with masses. So I was trying to do it with 10, but 10 is already too many. And then ask the 10 to get 10 to disciple. And then ask those ones also to get 10 under them. Then that way 1,000 will be taken care of. But I was taken away from that before, you know, we got too far with it. But that was the vision. The vision was try and mentor the masses by breaking it down into a pyramid kind of thing. When my parents were growing up, in their Christianity, they were put with an older Christian, a person that had been walking with the Lord for a while. And this became your mother or your father in the spirit. And you walked with them, and there was deeper discipleship that was achieved during that time. In our time, it's become so broad that we are really, really struggling. And I agree with you. It really, for me, looking back in history, it really resembles the time of Constantine, where Christianity became the in thing and didn't necessarily talk about the commitment and the, you know, the very sacrificial commitment to the gospel. Yes.
One question here and then one there, and then maybe we'll stop.
Okay.
My question is that in the early church history, and in the early history of the mission movement, it was apparent that you could aim mission at the gatekeeper, as was the expression you used, and by doing that could reach a whole community, a whole village, a whole family. One of the things in modern society in the West is that we've lost that sense of community and become very individualistic. Most people in a lot of communities wouldn't even know who their neighbour was. That sense of combining and doing this. How do you identify the gatekeepers in a modern day community and affect change?
Yeah, that's a good question. If you have the answer, please lend it to me, because I'm needing it in Hapahe right now. What is the only way you can start to even do something about that question? And I'm not saying I have foolproof answers here, but the only way you can start to even address it in my own situation is, while you are saying we are working at rebuilding community, it is while you are working at bringing people together that you start to identify those that emerge as gatekeepers, as would-be gatekeepers in the future. So you're talking, you start to handle it, you know, futuristically, rather than, I already have a gatekeeper, let me consult them. Having said that, however, you might find that in some places there's already a residence association, for example, where people get together, even if it is once in a long time, whether they get together only when they are discussing the demolition of their streets, for example, and so on. You might find that amongst them, not necessarily the chair is the gatekeeper, but you'll find more vocal people that usually would influence some kind of change. But if they are not there, that is whom you are, as you develop community, you're actually trying to get those to emerge out of the community. So that in the future, when the missionary of the future comes to Hapahe, they will find a gatekeeper. They will find a community that is functional. I know things are dire, things are in very, very bad shape, so it's easy for us to raise our hands and say we cannot be of any help, of any consequence to what is going on. But we, having been sent into Hapahe, said, you know, we are not going to take that. We are going to do whatever it takes. And if we influence just a little area, so be it. You know, so start small, see whether it will grow. Right now, we've replicated what we've been doing in 170 houses to another 200 homes and another 200 homes. So we have three clusters within Hapahe where there is active work going on. And hopefully out of those, if we can get a few more, the whole of Hapahe will start to function with gatekeepers in those little areas, because they're very geographical people. If you do something a mile away from them, that is not ours. That doesn't belong to us. So the gatekeeper for the little ones will then have to meet and then do something together. We are thinking about a Hapahe festival in the future that will start to bring that community together as a whole. Sorry,
one last question.
I feel very privileged to have been here this afternoon and to hear what you've told us.
Thank you.
And how you've talked.
Thank you.
My comment really is related to this everywhere to everywhere. I'm also an ex-CMS missionary. And you're a missionary here. Are you still in relationship with your sending society, which is now CMS Kenya, or are you on some separate basis? You know, your own employment here, your support.
A mixture of both and a few more is the quick answer there. When we first came, it really was British CMS that was calling us.
Yes.
And even though the church there then sent us, it's Britain that made the first call. And while we've been here, while changes have been taking place in CMS, Africa has emerged and become strong as CMS. And so when we were at 6 years, where we should have been ending our second contract with CMS, I went back to CMS Britain and said, just what I've told you this afternoon, that we feel that now we've been long enough, we've been here long enough, the work can now begin.
Yes.
And we asked for CMS to continue to find ways of supporting us, even if it will be different in nature from how they did it before. Please support us, continue your support of us, because we feel that now the work can begin. They said, now Africa has grown as CMS, you need to go to them and be sent by them. So I went to Africa CMS, and I know the head of Africa CMS. In fact, I should have mentioned him. He's part of my high school story. He was the head of school in the boarding school, was a revered person. While I was a Form 1, he was the top of the school. So I was the least and he was the most. He put an arm around me and invited me to Christian Union. That began my questioning life of, you know, what is Christianity all about and so on and so forth. Anyway, so he has a part to play in my walk. Anyway, I went to him and I keep reminding him of this story. He doesn't remember, but I keep reminding him. I went to him and said, British CMS has sent me to you so that you send me. And this is what Africa say. And for me, this, you know, very pivotal. CMS Africa said, CMS was set up to do a work that the church should have been doing. The church should be the sender, really, because you should be sent out of a spiritual community. CMS is quite administrative. And he said, as we grow as CMS Africa, we are not in the business of stripping the church of its responsibility. We are in the business of encouraging the church to take up its responsibility. Therefore, go to your church and ask them to send you. But this is all still happening. So that's why I don't have a neatly packaged answer for you. It's still happening.
Yeah.
So I went back to All Saints Cathedral and said, and gave them the chain of what is happening and asked them, can you send me? CMS will assist you and facilitate the sending, but the sending needs to be seen as coming out of a spiritual community, the cathedral. So they're still grappling with that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe in a year's time that will be neatly packaged, but that's the short and long.
And do CMS, does the church use what you're doing as a teaching role for hopefully other people helping to build a community the way that you've been doing?
Yeah.
Do you have, you know, people gaining from your experience as well?
Yes, like you are this afternoon, and I'm very, 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 feel very privileged, especially in an institution of learning. Because I feel like if you've taken away one concept, if you've been encouraged in one way, I feel like that has been multiplied, because you are going to function somewhere where it will continue to be multiplied. But yes, I've been to several churches. Right now I'm doing quite a run. I'm visiting at least 2 churches a month sent by CMS, telling the story, encouraging them to do ministry in their own places, but also to support us as we continue in the work. So. Yeah, it is spreading. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Cyprian. I feel we could carry on talking for some time, but let's do it over tea and coffee through in the dining room. But it's been a pleasure to listen to you. Thank you very much for coming down to Manchester, from Manchester, and we wish you all the best
Thank you.
As you return. Thank you.